Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Chulin Daf Nun Dalet. We are holding four lines off the top of the Amud. Back to Drusa, the animal that was trampled, that was attacked, that was clawed by a predator, and that leads us to believe that there's some injection of venom, which they knew about in the old days. Apparently it's not really prevalent today. Nevertheless, the halacha remains the same, as we discussed yesterday. So this drusa animal, this animal that was attacked, it must be thoroughly examined to ensure that, in fact, there was no insertion of venom, and the animal, in fact, is healthy. How do we go about doing that extensive, thorough examination? Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, he was sitting kamei in front of the Rav Nachman, Yosef Ka'amar, and he was sitting and saying over the halacha as follows: Drusa she'amru tzricha badika, the extensive examination that is required for a drusa to ensure there are no attack marks, there were no insertion, there was no insertion of venom. Where? How far reaching is that examination? Drusa shamru tzricha badika keneged bnei mi'ayim. You have to check all around the bnei mi'ayim, the intestines, the whole cavity in which the stomach lays, the intestines, the Rashi says, the reya, the kaveh, the lungs, the liver, all that is considered bnei mi'ayim in the context of this discussion. So you must check all around the cavity surrounding the all these vital organs. There's a girsa Amalei. So Rav Nachman responds to him, Malikim, I swear in the name of Hashem, in the name of Rav, Moiri Barav. You should know that Rav ruled as follows. He presented a different formula. Mikapavat Atma. You check from the cap till the till the hip, till the thigh. Now, what does it mean from the cap to the thigh? From the shoulder to the thigh? Well, it's exactly what we just said. That area corresponds to the aforementioned area. That's Keneged Min Mi'ayim. That covers the whole, central part of the animal. My kappa, when he said from kappa until, what is that? Ilem kappa di yada. The cup, rotating cup, the shoulder atop the animal's forearm. So from the shoulder to the hip, hainu kapat yada, hainu keneged bnei mi'ayim. That's exactly what we said before. That's keneged bnei mi'ayim. There's no machlekes. Why is he wording it differently? Ella, rather, he meant like this. He meant further up. Ella mikapat de meicha. He meant from the cap of the brain, which means to say the skull. From the skull all the way at the head, because that's also, that area is also susceptible to this injury, to this poisoning of the predator. Ela mikapa de moicha ad atma, to check from the front to the back, all the way from the head till the back. Rashi says v'afken gad hasimanim. Also, the neck area, which has the which houses the tubes, also must be examined to ensure that they're free of any poisonous substance. Kisolag Rav Chi Bar Yosef. So when he traveled up to Eretz Yisrael, he found the local Rabbanim, the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, right? Ashkechinu, he encountered Rabbi Yechanan, Rish Lakish. They were sitting and learning. They were saying over like this: Drusa she'amru tzricha bedika, the bedika that must be applied to a drusa. Where in the animal? Keneged bnei mi'ayim. What are you checking for? Around the bnei mi'ayim. But no more than that. You don't have to go further up towards the neck and towards the head. Amru, so he responded. with a Lashon of a Shavuah, Elokim, the name of Hashem, I swear, you should know that Rav expanded the Bedika up until the head. Moir Barav, Mikapa Bad Atma, he required from the Kapa to the Atma. Amale Rish Lakish. So he responds to the visitor, he says, who are you quoting? Rav? Who's Rav? Never heard of Rav. Monai Rav, Monai Rav, I don't know who this man is. Who are you quoting from? So Rabbi Yechon says to him, I want to remind you, you don't know who Rav is? He was that great Talmud who served Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he learned in the yeshiva. You don't recall the Rav, the great man, Omar, Le Rabbi Yechon Avalei Nihirle. You don't recall that special student, Lo Yisei Talmud, that Talmud, Shishimesh is Rabbi Rabba. Shishimesh over him means he learned with him, he studied under him. Rabbi Rabba, the great Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And also, he learned Rabbi Chia with Rabbi Chia. So he was their student, and he was a very advanced student. Well, Elokim, in the name of Hashem, I want to tell you, I want to remind you. All those years, all along that time, that special student was Meshamish, he learned Bi Yeshiva in a sitting position, which indicated that he was a more advanced student, in contrast to those younger ones who would be standing while they were learning. He was sitting. All that time, I was standing. He was greater than me. Uman Gavar. And Rabbi Yechon asked Rish Lakish. I'm sorry, Rish Lakish responds. He says, and in what area is he great? What's his expertise? Rabbi Yechon says, Hu Gavar Bikula. He's great in everything. Rashi says, but Torah, Ubachasidus, and his devotion, right? Everything. Oh, Miyad, Pasach, Rish Lakish, V'Amar. So, in response to Rabbi Yechonon's elaborate description, extolling the virtues and the greatness of Rav, immediately Rish Lakish responds, yeah, remember him. Remember him. Miyad Pasach Rish Lakish V'Amar Bram. Yes, certainly. Zohar Oysoy Hishlatuv. Certainly that man will be remembered for the good. Latoiv. They're even today, they're saying over halacha in his name. Oh, Sh'amr Shmo Mipiv. The halacha, the following halacha was said in his name. It's still being promoted in his name. Halacha regarding Chulin, of course. Shmuta Ushchuta Ksheira. Rav taught us that, suppose, you know, after the Shechita, you discover that the animal's tube, right, his esophagus, or his trachea, right, was severed, is shmuta, it's out of place, dislocated, detached from, you know, from its moorings. Kshera, it's okay, why? Because it certainly happened after Shechita. You can't possibly slice through a detached, a dislocated trachea. It's just not going to work. It's going to wiggle out. It's not going to... She'i efshel shmuta. If it was really shmuta before the Shechita, it cannot experience a proper Shechita. She'dasa shchuta. You can't properly shecht it. The fact that it's properly shecht, it confirms to us that it happened after Shechita. Rabbi Yechon Amar Yavi V'Yakiv. Rabbi Yechon says, don't suffice with that reasoning. You have to actually compare it. Meaning, make another cut next to it. Right now. And compare it to the first cut. If they mesh, they look alike, then you know the first cut happened after the tube was dislocated. That's why it looks like the new cut, which happened after it was dislocated. But if they're dissimilar in color, they don't look alike, then you know, yeah, the new cut happened now after it was dislocated, but the first cut happened while it was still intact. And that will prove that it's kosh. Or Rav Nachman. Adds Rav Nachman, and some say he's going back only on Rav's halacha, that we assume it's okay because he couldn't have cut it. It would have wiggled out of place. It must have been connected at the time. That's only when he didn't grab hold. He didn't stabilize the simanim from the outside, you know, before the shechita to hold it in place. Aval tavas b'simanim v'shachat. But suppose he stabilized, he held the simanim in place, and then the shechita, you never know what's going on. Perhaps they were really detached, but because he held on to them, they cut properly. Efshar l'shmuto. In this case, it's possible for a detached, dislocated piece of tissue, shitasa shchuta, to be cut properly. So there's no way of knowing. Zaklau. Let's go back to that first mission in our perek, which presented a comprehensive list of the 18 defects that render an animal treifa, and the Mishnah sums it up. Zaklau. This is the rule. Any condition which, if an animal has it, it can't really live, that makes it a treif. Lasuy Yemai, what does the comment include? Which variation which wasn't mentioned? Lasuy Shev Shmaitza, those seven variations, which were discussed at the beginning of the perek, which are also considered treif, despite not having been explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah. Here comes a story, the Ve Yosef. So the household of Yosef Rishba, the animal trapper, Mocha Begidid Anasha. They had a practice, an interesting practice, of whacking the animals, Gid Anasha, near the thigh area, but constantly, and that would eventually kill the animal, unless it was shechted, beforehand. So some say they would use this method to subdue the animal prior to shechita, but in any case, it was a pretty severe trauma, which could theoretically kill the animal. And the question is, hey, maybe that makes it a treifa, and unfit for consumption. Also, coming to Rav Yehuda ben Beisera. So he presented the Shatter of Yudah. Amr Lui says, it's okay. Are you suggesting that we add another item to the treifa list? We stick with the list that the Chacham presented to us. This doesn't qualify as treifa despite the severity of the injury. And we'll see in a minute why it's different. A similar story happened with Rapapa Bar Abba, Rishpa. So in his household, they had a similar the Veda Pabarishba Rishba, Mocha Bakuli of Kafli, that a similar practice, that would whack the animal by the kidney, and that eventually can be lethal. Also, the Kamed Rabbi Abba, Amalui says the same idea, we're trying to add to the Trefus, we stick it with the list the Chum gave us, and we don't add to it. Ask the Gemara, but practically, I mean, if it's life threatening, it should be a Trefa. So we see that it's lethal, the animal dies. If left as is. Gmiri, we have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition from our teachers who knew the secrets of creation through Allah HaMashim Messinai. The Badri, the Badri means it would spread over its Sama, some medicine, Chaya. It would recover, it would survive, it would regenerate. It's not an automatic death. So it's not inherently deficient, it's not considered a treifa, as opposed to all the other items mentioned, all the other defects, which are inherently deficient. Inherently lethal. Don't allow for remedial efforts. That's considered a treifa. So in contrast to that first Mishnah of Elu Treifas, which gave us a detailed list of the treifa situations, here we have a Mishnah which goes the other way. Elu Ksheiris Behema. The following issues, despite their severity, are not considered treifa. The animal's still kosher. So it's pretty much the same list, but in a lower level of severity, lower degree of injury. Nikva gageres. Trachea got a hole. A hole in the gageres is not an issue. It's not as delicate as the food pipe where a hole makes it a trachea. Here it's not. Oshinistico, or even got a slit lengthwise. So we learned that if it's slit widthwise, due to the pulling, the pressure exerted on the, it's going to snap and separate. But here it's lengthwise, which pretty much stays in place, it's going to recover, it's going to reheal. Ad kama techser. How big can the hole in the agaris be and still be kosher? Shem leloimer ad gizri talki. As long as it's up to the size of an iser, a certain coin, an Italian coin. But past that point, it's too much, it's a treif. Nevchas ad olgoylis. Filinikav krum shel mayach. Another injury which is not deemed a treifa. Olgoylis, the skull. Got crushed, missing a bit, but there's no damage to the membrane around the brain. That's okay. Nikav alev, even if the heart got a hole, but it's not all the way through to the chamber. Next, ishbra shidra, backbone snap, but the cord is still intact. V'lein v'sak hachut shalom, the cord which gives it life, it's not damaged. Nitla kavet, liver is gone, but there's some left. V'nishtar hemen ha-kazayit, there's a kazayit left. Hem seis ha-beis ha-kaisis, these two compartments of the stomach next to each other. Shunik v'zil tachzid, they got a hole to each other, not to the outside, to each other. It's still protected, it's still contained, it's okay. Nitla tcholet, spleen is gone. Nitla kleis, kidneys are gone. Nitla elchei atachta, the lower jaw is gone. Nitla em shalom, the womb is gone. V'churusa b'dei shamayim, the animal's lungs have shriveled due to some sort of frightening, natural fright, some thunder, whatever. These are all kosher. Then we have agluda, the animal, due to extensive work or whatever, he got his hide skinned off. He has no skin. Rabbi Yemachshir, it's not a treif, but Chamin Paisim, it is a treif. Now, interestingly, we have two Mishnahs, both beginning with the word Elu, which, if it learned literally, can seem to be contradicting each other, because Elu means with exactness. It's precisely this list and no more. Now, which way do we go? We focus on Elu Treifas, these are the Treifas, but anything else is okay. Or do we focus on Elu Ksheiros, these are Kasha, anything else is Treif. So suppose you find something which hasn't been mentioned in both Mishnahs, right? X. Which way do you go? Do you say only these are Treifa, but X is okay? Or do you say only these are Kasha, X is not okay? But Machlekes. Itzma, we have learned Rabbi Yechon Amar, Elu Treifa is Dafka, you focus on the first mission. Only these are Treifa, everything else is okay. Rav Shimon Logash Amar, Elu Ksheiros Dafka. No, Elu Ksheiros is the focal point, but X is a Treif. No, what's the point of Machlek? What's the case that's subject to dispute? But Rav Masna, famous Rav Masna, which we learned back in the beginning of the parak, Rav Masna, I book of the Atma, you have the book of the round the bone, the thigh, which is meant to be inserted into that cup. Book of the Atma Shaf, which was dislocated Mduchte from its cup, from its place, Treifa. That's a severe defect, that's a real injury. That makes it a Treifa. That's Rav Masna's opinion. And that really is subject to this Machlek. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says it's really okay, because Eila Treifa is Dafka. The first mission is Dafka, so it's limited to the 18. Tana Treifas, so the Tana presented the 18 Treifas. And he also recapped it, the Tana with Zaklal, to add those seven that were not mentioned, right? Now, v'chazye with Rav Masna. We turned on the base, and the Tana figured that Rav Masna's case, theoretically, would be included. The Asya by Zaklal would be covered by Zaklal. So unless I quickly dispel that notion, the student will include it in Zaklon, make it a Treifa. My time, why? Because it's comparable. The Dami Linatuli, it's like the other cases in the Mishnah which discuss missing limb, missing organs, which are considered Treifa. Right? So this is also that type of Treifa. Runs under that category. Right? A dislocated thigh, it's like it's missing, it's out of place. So in order to dispel that notion, Tana ilo treifas, the Tana emphasized, no, only these are considered treifas. Hani u de treifa, only these. Hadar Rav Masna k'shev, Rav Masna's case of dislocated thighs, okay. That's Rabbi Yechon's approach. Rav Shimon Lakash Amar, he takes a different approach. He starts the other way. Eluk sheiros dafka, we focus on eluk sheiros. The items mentioned in this Mishnah, today's Mishnah, are the okay cases, but Rav Masna is a treifa. Tana treifas, Tana zaklal. Okay, so let's backtrack. The beginning of the parak had that Elu Treifas and concluded with Zaklal, which covers unmentioned items. Now, V'chazi the Rav Masna, the Tana understood, realized that Rav Masna's case of the dislocated thigh, the Le'asu V'Zaklal would not be included in Zaklal. Nobody would assume that it's included. You know why? Because it's in a category of its own. It's its own unique variation of Treifa, which is dissimilar to any of the categories mentioned in the Mishnah. We discussed a hole, we discussed snap, missing. This is none of the above. It's a dislocated thigh. It's not broken. It's there. It's not missing, but it's just out of place. My time, it's not comparable to the ones that have the hole, like the heart and the lung. V'lo yilu p'suki dam, nor to the ones that are snapped and severed. Unto the namele dami, or to the ones that are missing. It's a thing on its own. So I wouldn't really include it. On my own, Tana, eluk sheirais. Therefore, the Tana comes back with today's Mishnah. Eluk sheirais, you should know, only these conditions are considered okay, as opposed to dislocated thigh, which is a treifa. Honey, eluk sheirais, only these are considered kasha, the Ramasna treifa, Ramasna's case is a treifa. Goof, I'm Rav Masna. Let's go back to Rav Masna. Torahs, hai bukada atma, sham yuchduchte treifa, dislocated thigh is a treifa. V'rava makshira, Rava says it's okay, so we have another machlekes, corresponding to the earlier machlekes as well. Good or no good? Now, v'yisak nive treif. All agree if the gid, the sinew that connects the thigh, if that's been snapped as well, that's too far gone, that's a treif. But the Gemara concludes, not so, v'lachasa. If sig namik sheir, and even if it's even if that nivev so Rav is the one who makes that distinction. He says, look, I hold it's kasha, but the nivev is snapped, it's a treif. But the conclusion is that even that's okay. If sig namik sheir, even if that was snapped, it's still okay. Adim is akla is akuli, unless you see disintegration, you know, the area is getting infected, and that's what's sort of snapping that gid. So it's not just a snap, a sever, it's not just a cut, it's due to the gid is getting severed due to disintegration and infection, and it's a worse off situation, and that's considered lethal and makes it a treif. Okay, ad kama techsar. So, until what point? How much can how big can the hole be, the hole in the trachea, and still be okay? Mishnah says, until you get to the point of isar ha'italki, which was a known coin in those days, and until that point it's okay. Amaziri, if you're curious to know how big this isar is, so he tells the people in Bavel, Atun delay mitchami luchan shiura. You know, you're not familiar. You haven't seen this coin. You're not familiar with the shiur of this coin. I'll give you an idea. I'll give you a hint. Shiurei bedinra kurdina. The shiur of this hole can be estimated based on the size of a dinar kurdina from Kurdistan, a Kurdish dinar. Everybody knows a Kurdish dinar. She says, hurry, arara. That's where the table landed, right? You know, there's a lot of documentation about that they seem to have discovered that some sort of frozen wooden structure on top of one of the high mountains in Kurdistan. Hurry, arara. In fact, I once saw a picture of French explorer coming down, rappelling down with a piece of wood that he chopped off the structure, which seems to be a big, long boat. In any case, so you get a hold of a coin from that locale, and you know the size of the a tray from the Mishnah. Okay, if you're not familiar with that coin, I'll give you another hint. Vavikip pshita, it's like a pshita, like a coin, a penny. Zutrasi, like a small coin. Umishtaka bin pshita bub medisa, which you will the Kurdish dinar can be found amongst the pshit, amongst the coins, the small coins of Pumbedisa, like, you know, the American penny sometimes they find here mixed into the Canadian, you know, a change. So you look hard enough, you'll find the Kurdish coin, and you know the shear of the treif. Amar Abichana, Shabchana, who happened to be a money changer, a banker, Pesura, he says, I'll tell you a story. Interesting. I had an interesting visitor one day, a very esteemed guest. Ilo minoy over me, meaning next to me, Havakoy, he was standing, Bar Nafcha, the famous Bar Nafcha, who we know as Rabbi Yechna, Rabbi Yechna Bar Nafcha, son of the blacksmith. He came to pay me a visit, to take a look at my coins, so that he could know the Pshat in the Mishnah. Uba mini, he asked me if I can show him a dinra kurdina, a Kurdish dinar, the shari beit refasa, to use to figure out the shear of the treifa. Uboy lo make him kame. Now, I was about to get up, in his honor. He didn't let me. He says, you're an employee. It's not your own time. You have no right to be mevatel to get up for me. Amarli, he says, shave and he shave. Sit, my son, sit. Ain bali umnoyos. Rashayin lamoid. A worker man is not allowed to get up, even for a Talmud Chacham. While they're working. V'loi, really? Ask the Gemara, they're not allowed to. But now we have a Mishnah that when the Bikurim transporters, the ones who brought the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, arrived, everybody. It was a great celebration, great fanfare. Everybody would get up, even the painters and the workmen. V'loi, but now, call Balum Noyes. All the craftsmen, I'm doing for name, they would stand in their honor. Yishalem, Bishleiman, and greet them. They will tell them how excited they are. Achenu, and Shemokim Pliny, look, our brethren, all the way from Toronto, Voyachem, Mishalem. Ah, so glad you came in peace. News, we see even craftsmen. We'll take a pause for a few seconds to honor the visitors. Amar Yechon, I'll tell you. Mipnei Maimdim. Yeah, look at the mission. It says Mipnei Hem. This was a special exception. They would stand in their honor, but not in honor of a regular Talmud Chacham. Mipnei Talmud Chacham, ain't Oim, they wouldn't get up for a Talmud Chacham, despite the mitzvah of getting up for a Talmud Chacham. You have no right to be mevatel from your work. Why? Why is this different? Amar Rav Chanina, Bar Avin, Boy Rei, come take a look how special it is to bring Bikurim. Kama Chaviva, how dear, how special. Mitzvah B'Shata is doing a mitzvah in its right time. It wasn't an everyday mitzvah. Once a year, how exciting. And everybody would express that excitement and appreciation for what they're doing and get up for them despite being in the midst of their work. Sharei, look, everybody would get up for them, but they wouldn't get up for a Talmud Chacham on a regular day. So you see how special it was to bring the Bikurim to do a mitzvah in its right time, in its right place. Says the Gemara, how do you know that's the reason? Mimai, who says, perhaps the reason why they get up for them is to encourage them to come again, lest they be insulted and, you know, feels, you know, socially distanced from the people of Yerushalayim. Look, we come there, nobody looks at us, nobody greets us. Duma, perhaps, k'dei shloitei nimtza machshilan. We don't want to discourage them, lavoi, to come back in the future. So perhaps that's the reason, and no more than that. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman. So, the missing, you know, the hole that's missing in the trachea, until an isser you're safe. Past that point is a trachea. Now, what about exactly an isser? Up until is okay. Past is not. What about exactly? It's the size of an isser. Or in the case of the skull that got a hole, in that case it can be the size of a cella. Same question. Up until is okay. Past is too far gone. What about exactly a cella? I'm Rav Nachman Kisela. Kiyasim Kisela. The hole in the skull, which is a cella in size, is like it's more. Trefa, too far gone. The same with the kana, which can be at, until an iser, ki iser. So it's exactly the size of an iser. That's also too far gone. Ki yasser, ki iser, it's as if it's more. Alma ksav Rav Nachman, apparently Rav Nachman holds, when we say ad, whenever we delineate, you know, up until, from here, up until, what does up until mean? Up until and including that point? Or up until excluding that point. Apparently holds including, right? Ad, when it says ad ki iser, ad ki sela means v'lo yad bechlal, not including. In fact, once it gets to an exact iser, it's no good, it's a trefa. Okay, so according to Rav Nachman, it's up until, not including. Esve, Rav, I have a question, Rav Nachman. A mission in Kalem. Chevel ha'yitzim min amita. So you have this bed, which they would rope up with a string, like sort of a spring system on which they would put the mattress. And you had sometimes some like a leftover string hang off the side. So, is it part of the bed? Well, it depends. If it has function, if it has use, if it has purpose. And if it does, then if something tummy, right, touches that rope, it's considered part of the bed, and the whole bed is affected. But otherwise, if it's just dangling, it's too small to have any purpose, or it's too big, and it's just, it's going to be snipped off and discarded up. So in that case, it's not connected, it's not related to the bed. And it's not metami. How do we define? What's the defining point? What's the shiur? Three categories. From 0 to 5 tefach in length, has no value. From 5 to 10 does have value. Past 10 is too big, too cumbersome, too intrusive, and gets in the way. You just chop it off and throw it out. So three levels. 0 to 5, 5 to 10, and 10 and up. Chel Yitzim and Mitzah, you have this rope protruding from the bed. Ad Chamisha Tfachim Tor. Until 5 Tfachim has no function, it's Tor. What about the number 5 itself? It's exactly 5. My level, let's assume Chamish Kilamata. Up until 5, including 5, is considered like below, and it's Tor. Loi Chamish Kilamala. So we thought it's a Kashan Rav Nachman. Here we see Ad V'ad Bechlal. That it's up until, it means including that. No! Loi Chamish Kilamala. The number 5 is actually belonging to the category above it. So it's up until and not including. Like Rav Nachman. Tashma comes the next right, the next part of the Mishnah. What's the next category from 5 to 10? Mehevat Asara. That has function, that has use. You know what kind of use it has? Listen to this. So Rashi brings, they would tie the Korban Pesach to their bed, like back in Mitzrayim. He says, Zeichel Pesach Mitzrayim. Just like Mitzrayim, they would tie the Korban Pesach to the bed. So they would do this throughout the generations. Even later on, it's Yisrael. It's Yalkut Shemayni. Wow. Unbelievable. They would keep that same practice. They did it in Mitzrayim. Zeichel, as a remembrance for that early first celebration of Pesach in Mitzrayim. Back to the source. Okay, in any case, so if it's from anywhere from 5 to 10 Tfachim, it has that function, has that use, and it's considered functional and a kli, right? And it's Mekamal Tum. Meheva Dasara Tomei, from 5 to 10 is Tomei. My love, let's assume. Until means including, right? Just like we said before, until 5 means including 5. My love, Asara Kilamata. When you say up until 10, it means including number 10. Lo yasor kilamala. No, perhaps 10 would be considered like above 10 and beyond the reach of Tumah. Toshmai comes another way. Hadakon shepli cheres. These flimsy, clay containers, these pitchers or whatever. Hain, the pitcher themselves. Let's say they're very, very small and barely functional. They just contain a little bit, a little oil that you can apply to the pinky of a baby. That is sufficient capacity to be considered a kli. V'kakar is saying, or if they broke apart, you have a kli that broke apart, and you have just the bottom piece, like the right, v'difnesein, or just the wall piece, side piece, and they still have the ability to contain something, right? Yoishim, they can sit unsupported and contain some bit of liquid. Shalem v'samachon, without supporting. It's still somewhat functional. Are they considered a kli to be metame? Only a functioning kli can be makabel tumah. The answer is, it really depends. If they can contain at a bare minimum the amount of oil needed to smear the pinky of a baby, that is considered sufficient capacity, sufficient capability, and render it a kli. We turn to the next page. Shi'uran, what's the shear, the minimum shear of these items? B'chdei sichas katan, enough oil to smear the pinky of a one-day-old baby. V'ad look. We speak about these broken shards providing sufficient use, sufficient function, sufficient capacity. That's only v'ad look. If the initial capacity of the pitcher from which these broke off had the containment capacity of until a look. So by proportion, this little bit of containment is considered sufficient relative to its former capacity and still retains its kli status. Because as we're going to see in a minute, if the initial pitcher, initial kli was way bigger, had a bigger capacity, then the broken shard is only considered, only has value, if it can contain a relatively larger amount of containment. Right? It's all relative to the initial size. Okay, so the shear is va'ad look. Now, when we say va'ad, once again, big question, what does that mean? My lab, let's assume log kilamata. It would contain up until a log and including a log. So this shear applies to a container which would contain anything up to and including the lug. And in that case, it's regarded as part of the lower category, which allows for a smaller remnant. Loi lukulamala. So we thought we had a kasha on Rav Nachman. Here it says ad and includes. No, lukulamala. No, up until a lug. But if the initial capacity was actually a lug itself, then that's bumped up to the next category. Tashmai comes another raya. Milug vatsa bravis. The initial capacity was anyway from a lug to a sa. Then the capacity requirement of its remnant has to be a revius, has to be bigger, to be reckoned, to be considered as something. My love, let's assume sa'a kalamata. Once again, when we say ad sa'a, what we mean is that sa'a is related like to the relates to the lower level. Lo is sa'a kalamala. No, sa'a relates to the next level. Tashma is another rhyme. Sa'a sa'aim. The initial capacity was anyway from sa'a sa'aim. Then the leftover shard has to contain b'chatziluga, half a lug, to be considered functional. Right? It's all proportionate. It's all relative to the initial capacity. Once again, malab susam kilomata. Let's assume that when we speak about until tusa, the exact amount of tusa is regarded like beneath it, like the ones that are less than a tusa. So ad means including until tusa, including lo susam kilomata. No. Once you get to susam, that's past. That's the next level. Because when we say ad until, it's until and not including, like Rav Nachman. Says the Gemara, you can't say so. You can't say that that when we say ad lug or ad sosaim, or it means until and not including. Atani, we have a brayso which explains it clearly. Otherwise, lug kilamata, sa kilamata, sosaim kilamata. That a lug is like below. Sa'a belongs to the category below. And likewise, so sign. Which clearly indicates that when we say ad, it's including. Unlike Rav Nachman, who says ad means until and not including. Says the Gemara, you're right. The term ad is sort of a fluctuating term. And it's applied l'chumra in every context. Hasam l'chumra. The reason why, when it comes to these kelim, these broken pieces, we learn it this way, that lug is kilamata, saw is kilamata, sasaim is kilamata, because it's going to generate a chumra. Why is that a chumra? Look, when we bump it down, what we're saying really is, that it's regarded as part of the lower category, the smaller capacity category, in which case, even a small capacity remnant is still considered an active and functional kli, as metame. So, it's, in effect, it's a chumra. Right? The more we bump down, the less we require for it to be still considered a kli. So over there, by going down, we're going to chumra. As opposed to, let's say, the case of Rav Nachman, right, with the treifa, there's the other way around. Until an iser is okay, until, but not including. So here, by going ad v'layad b'chlav will be machmer. We're saying, look, once you get to the iser itself, it's too far gone, it's a treifa. There goes the chumra. Same with the rope around the bed. When we say that the rope from 0 to 5 is tahar, what the Mishnah really meant was up until 5, because if the rope is exactly 5, it belongs to the next category up, considered functional, it's matame. But then when we say from 5 to 10 is tame, what about 10 itself? Here we go, 10, like below, it's tame, because included in the middle category, it's tame. I'm going to see that in a minute. So basically, we apply it, l'chumra, wherever we are. Because the term itself is pliable. It's an ambiguous term which can be applied both ways. And we do it in a way which results in Eichon. Hasam l'chomot. Damar avom Rabbi Yechonon, kol shi'urei. Chachamim. All these shi'urim that we find throughout the Mishnayos and the Brach, if it's minat Torah, if we're talking about an Isur or Tumah that's minat Torah, then we're meant to measure it and regard it l'hachmer ne'ichomradika fashion, in a stringent fashion. So if it's a question of what ad means, it's always meant to be applied in a strict way. Chutz, except for something which is merely mean the Rabbanan to begin with, we're over there, we go l'kula chutz mi kegris shoksam, except for the size of the stain, a woman's stain, which is really only the Rabbanan. It's only going to be tameh if it's past the gris, size of a bean. L'hakol, over there we go l'kula, which means to say that it's okay until a gris, including a gris. And it's only tameh if it's past the gris. So there, we go l'kula. Deikanami, says the Gemara. I'll even prove this point to you. That the same word, within the same sentence, so to speak, can have two applications. L'chumra. What's that? It's the case of the rope around the bed. The Tani Aladahi, we have a Brice which explains that Mishnah regarding the rope around the bed. And it says, look, Chamisha Kilamala, Sura Kilamata. The Mishnah says from 0 to 5, it's Tahar, but exactly 5 is Kilamala. It's like above, which means to say it's Tameh. When the Mishnah says from 5 to 10 is Tameh, what about 10 itself? Here, 10 goes down, Asura Kilamata. 10 is like the lower category. It's like the category of 5 to 10, which means to say that it's considered functional to Tameh. So we see the same term, same Lashon, Ad, within the same Mishnah, can have two different meanings. L'chumra. Okay, so let's quickly chazer today's daf. We discussed the method of doing bedikah on the drusa. We had a story of Rebbe Chaim Shlakish regarding Rav. We had an interesting point about these injuries that are inflicted on these behemoths, despite their severity, not considered treifos. More explains because it could be healed. We had the Mishnah of Eluk Sheiris behemoth lists of non treifos situations. We had a discussion regarding the dislocated thigh. We had a machlekes whether it's a treifos or not, depending how you learn the Mishnah. We discussed the shear of the missing kana, which is good until an Isra Italki, which was a Dinar Kardana, which was a Pshita the Pumbadisa, Pshita Zutrasi, which we find in Pumbadisa, or the story of Rav Yechanan seeking, first-hand viewing of the coins there. He didn't allow him to get up because he was on the other fellow's time, which was only allowed by the Bikurim, either because of the mitzvah b'shaita or the other reason. We discussed the sugi of ad b'chlal or lad b'chlal. Conclusion was that it all depends on the situation, and if it's a Torah oriented discussion, meaning it's a Isser or Tumah min Torah, the interpretation is always l'chumra, whereas within rabbinic context, like the Gris of the Nida, then we interpret l'kula. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.